The high seas. Not the juice box. Not the extra sugar rush. Not the diabetical drink that you drink. The high seas. All right. I'm going to continue on this series here for a minute. I want to begin on the first portion of the high seas. It's called the high calling. The high calling. If you were here Wednesday night, well, Wednesday night was a bit different. Wednesday night had to deal about a relay race. How many of you know what relay races are? Okay, not that we run them, but we watch them. Coach used to ask me, you know, when I was in track, Perez, you want to run? No. To the store? Or there used to be. There used to be a store right around the corner from the school. And I've always been a nut. So coach says, Perez, you want to go and run? What you need, coach? I'll go get it for you. I'm going to go get me a taco while I'm at it. He said, no, I want you to run the relay. You want me to relay a message? Don't quite understand what you're talking about, coach. But you tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. He said, I want you to stand on the other side of the field. I could do that. He said, then someone's going to run to you. Okay? So I'm not running yet. I'm good. I can follow these instructions. He said, then they're going to hand you something. Oh, it's okay. So after you get that, I want you to run with all your might. But you don't have to run the whole field. Now he's really piquing my attention. I don't got to run the whole field. I don't have to start. But from my portion, I just got to give it my all. He says, I just want you to give it your all. I know you can't run long distances. He says, but I know you can give it your all for a good pace. I says, yeah, coach, I'm fast, right? No, you'll just give it your all. Trying to build myself up. Like, okay, he said, I'm fast. Am I okay, so what do I do when I get this? He goes, I just want you to run hard. So I was up, okay, I'm going to run hard. Where do I run? I want you to run to your next teammate, and I want you to give him what was given to you. How far is this run? He goes, just around the bend. That's it. So I only have to run just all of what I have inside of me and then give what I have, what was given to me, and then give it to my next teammate. Are you following me? Some of y'all, you know, so spiritual in here, you're like, ooh, that's good, Pastor, that's good. I'm talking about a relay race. Y'all getting all spiritual. Ooh, I see the symbolism, what he's talking about. And all right, hold up now. So it was given to me, and I have to run my hardest. And then what I got, I've got to give to somebody else. But I don't have to finish it. I just have to get that person to his next leg of the race. But I have to make sure that I give it my all and my portion. You see, when we're in a relay race, it's not how you start. It's how you give it your all on the portion that has been given to you. Because together, you will finish the race. The positioning on the ranking of which you came in is going to be determined on the strength as the team, not as one. Because we had this one dude. Fast. I mean, he was fast. But he was fast for a minute. That's it. He gave it his all. He burned out, so he couldn't run long distance fast. So coach would put him first. Then we had this other guy. He was fast, but he had more stamina. So he would put him on the third. He would be the anchor. And I thought the opposite. Put the fastest guy at the end. Well, we needed to have enough head start because they knew the one in the middle. Y'all laugh at me. Y'all always laugh at me. a complex. So he says, if you just give it your all, I'll set it up for you that you'll have a lead. If you give me your all, they may start catching up to you. But I know that the one that you're going to hand it off to can make up what you couldn't make up. You see, when we start off in the race, we're so excited. How many, you know, I used to have butterflies. These butterflies would get me. Well, I'd get so nervous. I got to run. I'm burning all this energy just waiting there. Coach said, would you just stand still? I can't. I'm nervous. I'm going to give it my all. I'm burning all this energy waiting. High five. Now, see, in the waiting process, knowing that you're in the race, your anxieties begin to start drawing on all your energy. Your anxieties begin to get you to the point where, I'm not going to make it. Calm down. You're not even running yet. I know. And your anxieties begin to drain what you need to save. Because when your time comes up for that portion of the race, you have spent so much in the waiting process because of your anxiety and stress that you're not at your full potential. It's too deep. I'm just talking about relay races. That's all. So he said, I want you to calm down. I don't need you to be ahead of everybody. I just need you to give me your all. Calm down. If they pass you, they pass you. But just do me a favor. Don't look back. Okay, I'm not supposed to look back to see who's coming. He goes, no, because you'll lose stride. Keep looking forward. And just give me your all. Because your portion requires you to give your all. Your portion. But if you don't give your all in your portion, you're going to slow the person that's next. You're going to slow the next generation. You've got to go and give it your all. So as I read this scripture the other day, it reminded me of being in high school when I was skinny. Had hair. I know. It's getting thinner. But then it reminded me of the race that has been set before me is my life, and how I live it determines how my children are going to go with what I leave. It's not about me winning. It's about me gaining. As I gain momentum and distance so that when the generation, my children, that's my responsibility, my children, they can start where I left off. Do you understand? So I began to see certain things and I said, God, I'm going to give it my all. He says, good. Then I want you to read this scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the high calling. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. Watch this. Out of the NIV, it says, when I was a child, Lord Jesus, that was good when I was a kid. I talked like a child because I was a kid. I thought like a child because I was a kid. I reasoned like a child because I was a kid. But when I became a man, hold up. I put the ways of a childhood behind me. See, the thing is, we get so caught up with our past that when we become our manhood, when we come into adulthood, we're so caught up with what we used to be, what we used to have, what we used to know, where we used to be going, that we forget about putting those things away and pressing forward. Okay. I mentioned to you before that I was going to start sharing with you some of who I am. And the Lord told me, let them know who they're following. As they follow after Christ, let them know that they're following after a shepherd that I placed before them. Because you accepted a call. You accepted it. But you didn't know what was coming ahead of you. But there was a call. You accepted it. And then at time to time, I would go back and look over the times that I used to be a project manager for hotel renovations. I used to travel all over the United States. My family used to travel with me. On the summers, they would come up and they would spend the summer with me, whether in Tucson, New Mexico, California, or wherever the case may be. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. It was during that time that the Lord began to strip me of religiosity. He started taking away the things that had been poured into me that were in error based on legalism and religiosity. And so what I understood then is that he will put me in a place of isolation. When he puts you in isolation, see, there's some things that the enemy will do to put you in a place of being alone. That's when depression sets in. But when it's isolation with God, then you're going to get impartation. Do you understand? You're going to get revelation and impartation when God calls you to a place of being alone with him. Amen. Instructions come. So I began to see some things that I used to have, used to could, used to do. Now I couldn't. Then the Lord says, you need to start seeing where I'm taking you. And you're caught up more about the things of what you used to have, what you were able to afford to do. There will be a season of leanness, being lean. That don't mean this. That means you're going to go through something that you don't have the excess enough to get through. For me, I didn't have enough of him. I didn't have enough of God like I needed to have, especially for what he called me to do. So he began to remove things. One of my first assignments, I'll share this with you, was in a hotel in New Mexico that was extremely, extremely haunted with spirits. Extremely haunted with spirits. And I dealt with them on a nightly basis. We would walk into a room that we had removed all of the furniture out of in this hotel room. But if you'd walk past it, you would hear a TV turning off and on in that room. When you would go in the room, there's no TV. You would go to another room where we hadn't taken the things out yet, but we unplugged all of the equipment so that we can go in there and start removing it. TV be turned on, but it's not plugged in. Hear voices outside the window, and I'm on the second floor. I said, God, what are you doing? Can you show me what you're doing? He says, I'm making you understand something. You can't be what you used to be. You have to see where I'm taking you. And I'm going to enlighten your spirit so that you can see beyond the natural and get into the supernatural. Do you understand? So it was a training ground. Now, about raised up and started thinking that we're not supposed to see demons. Well, the reality is it's a supernatural way of seeing what God has for us and how he's going to train us up. But if we don't listen to it, we're just going to continue living our life, not progressing forward. So the first ministry that God brought me into, deliverance. Deliverance ministry. Start dealing with demons. It was tough. It was fun. To this day, I love it when a demon tries to show itself, because I'm going to deal with it. So the call doesn't come with the instructions. The call doesn't come with the map either. It doesn't come with you having a timeline like project managers do. Project managers will tell you when we're going to start and when we're going to end. And in between will tell you, here's the milestone that we're going to hit. And when we hit that milestone, it's to let you know we're on track. So God gave me the analogy. I'm going to show you how you're going to start. I will give you a glimpse of where you're going, but the milestones you're going to experience, you're not going to know when they're at. So, okay, God, that's all fine and dandy. I really would like to know what you're going to do. He says, okay. I've called you, but you have to know why I called you. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings 19, please. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. This is the calling by the cloak. The calling by the cloak. It's 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Are you ready? All right. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Say the call. Say it again. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye. He said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. This is the call of Elisha from Elijah, and it was called by a cloak. What is a cloak? Many would say, oh, it's a beautiful garment that was worn outside of the prophet. He would wear it over his shoulder. It was not one of those things you wear on your shoulders. It was something that was used to keep you warm. It was actually skin and fur that had been taken off of a dead animal that he would wear as an outer garment. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't even like to get dirty. Because if you get sweaty and dirty, you're taking about the 15th shower for the day. Mm-hmm. Changing your clothes so many different times because you got a little sweaty. See, being called of God doesn't mean you're going to be afforded all the things that you want. Matter of fact, when Elisha got called, he just saw something take place. A cloak from a prophet was given to him. Was there an exchange of power then? Not at that moment. Not at that moment. At the very beginning, the cloak was thrown saying, I've called you, but you're not empowered yet. I've called you, but you ain't moving in it yet. It's going to require you to go through a process. It's going to require you to chase me. It's going to require you to be in covenant with me. Will you chase the call? Will you chase the call? So what did Elisha do? He is actually on the 12th, the 11th oxen. He's at the second to the last. He's not at the front. Now, I find it very interesting. Have you guys seen that movie with Kevin Costner where he's one of those recruiters for the football team? What was it called? Is it Draft Day? Yeah, Draft Day. Okay. And I was watching it the other day. You know, you always get caught in the middle when you turn it on. Oh, this is a good movie. And you never see the right part that you were, you know, you always at the end. So I'm watching this. And he's getting ready, and everybody's going after that quarterback, this main quarterback that everybody wants. He's got great stats and everything. Kevin Costner does one thing. He calls him up on the phone during the actual draft. He is on the clock to announce his draft. And he calls his quarterback because he has the opportunity to get the quarterback that everybody wants. And he asks the quarterback this, hey, man, just getting ready to do something here. Good to talk to you. And they show him on the phone, and he's actually during draft day. He's there. Getting ready to get his number called, right? So Kevin Costner says, hey, man, how many of your teammates came to your party to celebrate with you for your birthday? Zero. Zero. That let Kevin Costner know there was something about his character that wasn't right. Did some of y'all miss that?
No.
Oh. Some of y'all thinking, looking at me, oh, you just talking about a movie. Let me talk to you about you. Come on, Josh, because it came up. It came up. Some of them want to go ahead and challenge me. That's okay. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. See, your character, just because you have acquaintances, you can't call them friends. Just because you know some folk. Well, I got a whole bunch of phone numbers I can call at any time. Call them when you're in trouble. See who's going to answer and see who's going to move on your behalf. A real friend will be there even through thick and thin. And when it's not the opportune time, will be the one that will show up. See, your friends are not just someone that you call you my friend. But when you need something, call somebody else. A real friend is going to be there to celebrate your birthday. You said, oh, but God has me in isolation for 46 years. You still ain't got no friends? There's something wrong with your character. Oh, woo. Yeah. You know, I didn't ask for certain gifts. I didn't ask for them. God gave it to me, and I wanted to give it back. Take this one, God. I don't want this one. I don't want to hear what they're thinking. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me what they're thinking. Maybe you're not the life of the party. Shoo, y'all don't know me. Didn't know me. But if you did know me, got some cousins in the house. He'll tell you a couple of stories about your pastor, but he won't tell you. A lot of friends. Trust me, a lot of friends. Blocks the vehicles just because we were going to have a party. Friends. Not just phone numbers. Not just acquaintances, but friends. But friends only become your friend when you've shown the character that they can respect. Unless you get around a bunch of knuckleheads that they don't care what you think anyhow, because you will attract those just like you. Mm-hmm. Let me take it in two ways. If you a Johnny Schemer over here, you're going to be schemed. Yeah. If you're Rico Suave, always playing around with the women, guess what? You're going to get played on too. Uh-huh. If you're the one that always thinks that you're the one that can take everybody down because you're the big and macho one of the party, someone's going to take you down. See, you're not the only one. But you will attract someone just like you. Have you ever been around someone that has had rejection issues? Church, so in church, ask the question, you're like, yeah, some of you are like, no, die. Rejection will make you identify with other people that are rejected and cause people of rejection issues to be around you. Get in a relationship with someone that has issues of trust. Get in a relationship with someone that has issues of trust, and you get mad at them because you say, they always blaming me for cheating. Baby, there's something inside of you that is calling on that. I can tell you, okay, see, y'all, I'm going to talk about moi, so y'all don't get offended. I had an issue thinking that every person in my life was going to hurt me. So what I would do was hurt them first to push them away before I got hurt. See, and I thought that was all fine and dying. Hello. Whining and dining is what I was going to say. But I thought that that was all fine when I was young. But in reality, when I got older, I didn't put the childish things away. I brought them into my relationships. And in my relationships, I became so jealous, that you could not go in anywhere unless I was with you. I'm just going to the store. No, you're not. Who are you going to go see? Why are you getting all dressed up? Why are you putting perfume on? Why are you putting on makeup? Why you got to wear heels to the store? It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You're going to work. And then after, you're going to go to the store. And you're already trying to think, well, you're going out. You're going to the club. Jealousy. So I would attract all kinds of people with jealousy issues. Because I had the issue. See, when Elisha was doing what he was supposed to be doing, he wasn't at the head. He wasn't bickering or complaining because it's hot or it's cold, it's raining, it's snowing. He was plowing, breaking up the fallow ground. There's characteristics that God is looking for in an individual. He wasn't looking to see if Elisha was qualified to do it yet. He was looking about the character, the high seas, the character of the individual. Wasn't complaining about plowing out in the dirty field behind the oxen. Not inside, not on the side, not on top, not in front, but behind the oxen. If you haven't been behind an ox, they ain't pretty, and you don't take them inside the house to bathe them either. It's stinky. And if you ever really been behind an ox while it's plowing, they don't get no break time to go boo-boo. When they go boo-boo as they're walking. And because you're following, you're walking in the boo-boo. Walk it. Okay. Praise the Lord. And then you hit a hard piece of ground that drives the till deeper in. And you got to struggle while the ox is trying to go forward, still trying to push it. You've got to reposition it. Now you're fighting against it. Now you're getting hot and you're getting frustrated because you hit a snag in the middle of what you were supposed to be doing. And it's dirty and it's stinky and it's hot and you're dirty to the point, I don't want to do this no more. It stinks. You step right into that boo-boo and you're like... This ain't for me. I'm called. I'm called to preach. I'm called to lay hands. I'm called to deliver folks out of demon spirits. I'm called. You ain't gonna have me stepping in boo-boo. Not boo, but boo-boo. So you gotta work through all that. You work. See, and God saw the character in Elisha. Because Elisha, when he got the cloak, his shoe. I don't know where we're going. I don't even know really who you are. There's something inside of me that tells me I need what's inside of you. These oxen, they make money for the family. It's a business. The more plowing I do, the more money comes my way. But at some point in life, a sacrifice has to be made is the consequence of falling after the call. Got called by a cloak. So he runs after the puppy. Wait. Can I go say bye to my dad? Can't even get children to kiss their parents goodbye before they go to school. Can't even get children to say, I love you, mom and dad. Can't even get children nowadays to respect their parents. You can't even get children today to say, I'll do what you tell me to do, Dad, and I'm not even going to complain about it. You can't even get children today to say, Dad, I'll work out there in that field because this is what we need to do. I'll do it regardless because this is the family business. I'm not at the front. I may be at the back, but you know what? Put me on the 11th ox because on the 11th ox, that's the number for paradigm shift. Something along the way is about to shift for me because I know that if I keep my character right and if I stay working behind this mess, somewhere down the line, the call will find me because my character is in line with you, God. It don't matter when it's going to happen. I just know it's going to happen. And when it happens, God, I'm going to put all my childish ways behind. And I'm going to make sure I don't go back to it. See, he killed the ox. Sometimes we gotta kill the things that we know that will keep us where we are. Shoot, some of y'all, it's like. so caught up in all of that, we can't even go where he wants us to go. So what is he saying to do? Where I've called you. Watch this. Watch this. Don't get it all twisted now. You get mad at me later. It's all right. I get enough hate mail. It's okay. See, God called him in the midst of what he was already doing because of his character. But he had to burn something up that would keep him where he's at. So he kills the ox. Not only that, he kills the very yoke. He burns it, destroys it, uses it as a fire to make the meat. And then he gives it away so they can eat. Then he runs. What did he do? He killed and burnt up the very thing of his past that identified him as something where he once was. But if you can burn that issue up, get rid of it, and get to where God wants you to go, you may not know what the journey holds for you. You may not know what the consequences are, but you've got to burn some things up and follow and chase after the very call. We can stay where we're at, but we'll never become who God wants us to be. He may call you to be a leader, but you're leading people down to destruction. You may be leading them into a place of, come on, I'll fight you anytime. But you don't know that the next person you're going to go and fight will be the one to take your life out. You think you're big and bad, and you think you got all things put together because you carry a 9, you carry a Glock. I'm here to tell you something. There's a bullet that has your name on it, but if you could just turn and face Jesus and I'm putting this behind and I'm going where you want me to go, he will spare your life. He said, I will give you life and give it more abundantly. God is a way maker. But we got to burn some things up. We got to get rid of the things that keep us yoked to our past. He wants to take us somewhere. High calling, right character, and a cloak. Why a cloak? What was so significant about a cloak? Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. Woo! Why would God allow Elijah to have death wrapped around him? The cloak was a dead animal skin that would always remind him, you must sacrifice your flesh daily to follow after me. Woohoo! I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing of God. But we don't die to ourselves daily. Watch this. We'll continue walking down that path thinking everything is everything. But he's got something that he wants to share with you. So he throws that cloak on Elisha. Watch this. Elijah walked off. It's cold. Watch. Think about it. My Bible reads different. Elijah's thinking, I don't have to do this no more. Here you go. He comes back with it. You ever try to throw away your calling? You ever try to throw away your mantle? Try to throw it away. Guess what? It's coming right back at you. Oh, you know what? I don't want to pass this church anymore. You do it. You do it. I'll see you later. I'm going. Chase you down. It'll cover you. It'll find you wherever you're at. You can run from it, but it's going to find you. It's going to come back to you. You can't run from the calling. You can't run. Try to give it away and it'll come right back to you. Because it's yours. It's yours. Try to get rid of it. You try to get rid of it. Can't get rid of it. He just wants to take you deeper in it. You've only been scratching the surface, sir. You've only been scratching the very things that you think. But let him take you deeper and deeper in the lyrics where it means even more. That it can change a people. Not only a people, but a region and a territory. You have got to claw your way through it. You have got to just dig your way through it. Because it's deep down inside you. Call that thing that is deep within to come forth. Keep praying for him. Keep praying for him. Because what he sees to be the worst enemy is self. Self. Encourage him. Encourage him. Because there's times he can't even encourage himself. You know when he's going through before you even hear it on the phone. You know when he's going through. You feel it here. Pray him through. Learn, son. Learn to go deeper. Deeper. Because there's so much of greatness inside of you. You're going to change your destiny to the nephew that is yet to be born, that is coming. You're making headway. You're changing things. Because when they said, the doctor said she couldn't, God said, no! There's a word that has gone forth, and she will. You pray through. You press through. You dig through. You plow through the hard ground. Because great things are coming. You're making a way. Because in your household, there is no way. But in you, you will make a way. That's the call that is on your life. Elijah tried to run away from it. Why do I say he tried to run away from it? Let me just take you back in scripture, but put it in reverse for a little bit. He was running because he had just slayed all the prophets of Baal. And then a woman put out a decree to kill him. So he runs to a cave. He's scared. He runs. Then God comes and speaks to him and says, get up! Get up out of your misery and your fear. I need you to go and do something for me. I found someone that has the characteristics to succeed. Now get up and go to Elisha. So he gets up out of that cave and begins to go and find his successor. This is a true apostolic word right here. You always got to look for someone else that will go further than you. Puts that cloak on him. He says, good, it's done. I don't got to do it no more. Watch this. He leaves. He comes back. Elisha says, I don't know, there's something. Your name is Elijah. Mine's Elisha. I guess we're called to be together for a reason. I don't know what it is. Elisha could have said, I don't know you, don't know anything about you. Yeah, you're a prophet, but you're living out the cave. You ain't got much. Who's your head? Who's your pastor? How many people are in your church? Where do you tithe? How many home groups do you have? How many ministers do you have? How many pastors do you have? How many different ministries have you launched? Could have went through that whole checklist but didn't. Says, you know what? There's something that I want that's inside of you. So then he gives the mantle back. The cloak is given back to Elijah. Now the real test starts. Watch this. Everywhere Elijah went, Elisha was right there. You think, why are you talking about boo-boo earlier? I'm going to show you why the boo-boo. What was known about Elisha? He's the one that cleaned the hands of Elijah. What was he cleaning? Elijah's boo-boo. You understand that? No, Charmin wasn't around. Charmin was not around. Whatever you found near you is what was going to be used. Yeah, kind of nasty, isn't it? But the characteristics of Elisha is I've been around boo-boo all my life. I wasn't fazed by it then. And I'm not fazed by it now. Give me your hands, and I will wash your hands. Why is that so important? He was around water, wasn't he? Washing the hands of the prophet. The prophet even got to the point, you know what? Stay here. The Lord has called me to Jericho. Stay here. Elisha looks and said, Where you go, I go. Gets to Jericho. Well, watch this. Reading scripture, I'm going to paraphrase all this. Reading scripture, there was always 50 prophets. There was always 50 prophets following them and watching them. How come Elijah wasn't told to go find one of the prophets? They were pursuing God. They were prophets of God. How come God didn't choose one of the 50 prophets? He chose someone that wasn't being schooled by theology, that wasn't being schooled by a mindset. He was choosing someone that knew how to follow. Nowadays, we can't even get people to follow. Everybody want to be a leader. Well, who's going to follow if you're going to be a leader? Everybody's called to be a pastor. There ain't no sheep. Who are you going to pastor? Stay here. I got to go to Jericho. The Lord has me go to Jericho. The Lord has me to go over here to the Jordan. Stay here. What you want? The whole time the 50 prophets are looking at him. You know, right? The Lord is going to take your master. It's the only time you hear that Elisha speaks. He says, yes, I know. Shut up. Read the Bible. So now they're at the Jordan. What does Jordan represent? Transition. Transition. They get to the Jordan. Watch this. What is Elisha known for? Washing the hands of Elijah. He learned how to be around boo-boo. He learned how to be around the water. Y'all gonna miss it. They get to the Jordan. The 50 prophets followed him all along. Someone is always watching you. Someone is always watching from afar. You think nobody's watching, but they're watching. They're mocking. They're laughing. You don't even know. You're going to be taken from you. Elisha, you all along, he goes, yeah, I know. That's why I'm close, and you're not. See, a mantle doesn't come to you when you just follow at a distance. The mantle and the power only comes when you're in relation. Only when you're in relation. Close proximity. When you're at a distance, you're just like everybody else. I'm going to see what they're going to do. And if it ain't fly with me, I ain't going to do it. I'll just stay at a distance. Watch, I'll show you how really they were so smart as prophets. The 50. Elijah gets to the Jordan. He takes off that very thing. He takes off the representation of his dying daily to step into his true death. But he never really experienced death. Watch this. He takes off his cloak. He wraps it around his hand. And what does he do? He strikes what? The water. What does it do? It parts. Well, up until this point, it was just a call. Up until this point, it was just a call for Elisha. That's all he was doing. He was following, learning how to follow. He followed, he followed, he followed. They get over to the other side. When they get there, he says, what would you have for me? Since the Lord is about to take me. He says, I want the double portion. The double portion. Watch what the Bible says. Elijah looks at him and says, you've asked for a difficult thing. Difficult. Hard. Didn't faze him. I followed you this far. I've been cleaning you behind this whole time. You know how some of y'all would have thought. I've seen you in your frailty. I've seen you in your nakedness. I've seen, you know, you start thinking all these things because you've been going through so much as it is. You can't go back to the house that you used to be in. You can't go back to the people you used to be with because they're going to make fun of you because you came back with something that you didn't get when you took off to go get it. So you got to keep going. And as you keep on going, then you start seeing something. It's not what Elijah had. It's what Elijah had inside of him is what Elisha wanted. So all of a sudden he says, okay, if you see me when the Lord takes me up, keep your eyes on me. Can you imagine what Elisha's thinking? I've been following you. I know when you're leaving. I know when you're moving. I've watched you. I've watched your mannerisms. I've watched the way you do things. I've got you. Then all of a sudden now this distraction comes. See, some things will come to distract you before you get what God has for you. God's getting ready to do something for you, to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. What do you think is going to come? Distraction. Not just a distraction, but a godly distraction. He told him he was about to be taken up in a whirlwind. So here comes the chariots of fire. Were the horses on fire? No. The chariot was. Did Elijah suffer death? No. He got in that chariot, full of flames, all the way around him. All the way around him. Not much to have to say about the horses that showed up on the scene, too. Can you imagine what Elisha had to do to keep his eye on the prize? He had to get behind the horses. He was used to being behind the ox. He had to get behind the horses to keep an eye on the prophet. Watched him through all this distraction. Then he's taken up, and what falls from the sky? The cloak. The cloak that was once thrown on him. Here's what I'm going to lay on you and lay it on you hard. God will always give you what you're about to experience later in life. And then he'll remove it so you can chase after it. The more you chase after it, the more you're able to obtain it. But he's not going to give it to you if you negate any of the promises or the processes. You have got to walk it all the way through. Now the mantle falls. Elisha picks it up. As he picks up the mantle, he rips. Don't do it. Don't do it. He rips his own clothes off. Some of the ladies pulling out. Listen, he gets rid of the old. He gets rid of the old. He disposes of it and he puts on the new. Don't miss this. What did the Bible just say? He said, he took off his clothes, took off the clothes, discarded the clothes. What did he put on? Just the mantle, right? Just the mantle. Watch this. Now Elisha goes right back. Now here comes a consequence to the calling. He stands now in the same Jordan. What does he take off? The mantle, the cloak. So what is he doing? Standing there naked before the 50 that have been ridiculing him. Standing there naked right before his destiny. Takes it off, standing there naked before everything that he is about to experience. Saying, I can't hide behind my old identity. I can't hide behind my old covering. I've got to come before you naked, God. Because you're going to remember this down the road, guys, that David danced naked before the Lord, before the people. He took that cloak off and he wrapped it around. He says, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And he strikes the water and it parted. Why is that significant? Because he understood that the washing of the hands would come later to the parting of the waters. Gets there and he gets to the other side of the Jordan. There's the 50 prophets. Watch this. This is how dumb they are. Saying, all along, your master's going to be taken from you. Tells them, shut up! I know this. Gets to the other side. What did the prophets say? Where is he? Maybe he went over here. Can we go look for him? Read the scripture. What kind of prophets were you? Oh, you knew he'd be taken, but you didn't know where he was going to be taken to. See, you only know in part. He understood in full. He understood in full. Why? Because he followed because of character. When God chose him, he didn't choose him just for his ability. He chose him because of his character. Because of his character, he took him a lot further. Do you understand that? It's the character. Thank you, Elisha. Thank you. So I say all of that to tell you, it's not about your ability. It's not about who you know. It's not about your exploits that you have done. It's not about your past. It's about you taking off of everything that you once knew of yourself and putting on the new garments that he has for you, so that you can walk in a double portion. What does that double portion really mean? Is it more miracles, more anointing? Here's the dichotomy about that. You don't get more God as a double portion. You have all of God in you already. Give me more anointing. You already have the anointed one in you. You understand that? How are you going to... Give me more of you, God. You have all of him. What are you saying? Give me more of you. I've given you all of me. You understand? Religiosity keeps you bound. God, show me more of you in me. God, release more of you from me so that you get glory. Watch this. He did everything that Elijah told him to do. He walked with him. He saw the miracles that Elijah has done. So what do you think the first miracle was that he did that was greater than Elijah? Nothing is greater. The supernatural is your natural realm. Everybody's thinking, oh, I'm going to raise the dead, and that's going to show that I have the true power of God. If I can encourage one of you to give your life to Christ, I've just raised the dead from the grave. Well, but I want to see the dead raised. That is someone that was going to the grave dead eternally, just coming into life. And that life has been raised. See, the greatest miracle that Elisha really ever did is he followed. He kept the right attitude, the right character, and displayed God at his glory every step of the way. Every step of the way. He started dealing with things that Elijah hadn't dealt with. One of the first miracles that you read in there, he gets to this region and they say, the water's so bitter, we can't drink it. He didn't see his predecessor do this. He said, oh, just give me some salt, put some salt in it, it'll be fine. Where would he learn that from? He didn't see it happen. He just trusted God inside. And God inside revealed what he needed to do. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would stand to your feet, please.